Blog Talk Radio.
Perfect.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a difference in the world. We'll explore important aspects and areas of life, including spiritual, physical, mental, relationships, disabilities, and many more important topics. My name is Tom Tutall Cunningham, and I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. I'm also a regular contributor to their weekly newsletter, and I recently spoke at the 2012 Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra. Myself, I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since age 5. That's 43 years now. And I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced and been hospitalized about 40 times. Despite all that, I'm well known for always answering amazing when asked how I'm doing. I tell people 80% of the time it's true. The other 20% of the time it's to remind myself that it's true. And I'm also a senior research director for the Canadian Business Journal. That's a digital-only publication, which is the official and only media partner with the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. You can find out more about me at my website. It's Tom, the number 2, and Tall, T-A-L-L.com. And my guest today is Dr. Nito Cobain. And I'll have to tell you, listeners, I'm somewhat nervous. I have spoken to over 5,000 business owners, presidents, CEOs, senior executives. However, I respect Dr. Cobain so highly and have been following him for it would be an embarrassing number of years to mention it. Dr. Cobain came to the United States as a teenager with little knowledge of English, no contacts, and only $50 in his pocket. And since then, his life has been an amazing success story. As an educator, he's president of High Point University, which is an undergraduate and graduate institution with 4,500 students from over 51 countries and 44 states. He's written numerous books and many audio and video learning programs, which have been distributed worldwide. His foundation provides scholarships to 48 deserving young people each year, and to date, the Cobain Foundation has granted more than 700 scholarships worth over $6 million. As a business leader, he is chairman of Great Harvest Bread Company with 220 stores in 43 states, as well as past president of the Big South Atlantic Conference. He serves on the boards of several national organizations, including BB&T, a Fortune 500 company with $155 billion in assets, the Lazy Boy Corporation, one of the largest and most recognized furniture brands in the world, and DOTS, D-O-T-S, a fashion apparel company with 420 stores in 26 states. As a professional speaker, where I know him from, Dr. Cobain has received many distinctions. Toastmasters International named him top business and commerce speaker and awarded him the prestigious Golden Gavel Medal. He is the youngest person ever inducted into the International Hall of Fame and is the founder of the prestigious National Speakers Foundation in Phoenix, Arizona. He's in great demand to speak to business and professional groups around the world each year. He's also been the recipient of many honors, some of which include the Ellis Island Medal of Honor, the Horatio Alger Award for Distinguished Americans, the Order of the Longleaf Pine, which is North Carolina's highest civic award, as well as 3 honorary doctorates from Sales and Marketing International's Ambassador of Free Enterprise, Citizen of the Year, and Philanthropist of the Year in his home city of High Point, North Carolina, as well as induction into the Global Society for Outstanding Business Leadership and dozens more. Welcome to the show today, Dr. Cobain.
Thank you very much, Tom. Let me just begin by saying I'm honored being with you. And more importantly, I'm inspired by your own life's example and by your own personal and professional achievements. You are an example for us all to uphold and to learn from. So for me to be with you on your show today is a special honor and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cobain. Now, because of my association with the Napoleon Hill Foundation, it only seems right I almost always start my show by asking people, when did they first read Think and Grow Rich? And also, who recommended it to them? Because often those people are very important in our lives as well.
Well, you know, for me, it was early in my career, and it was recommended to me by a friend of mine who was also a professional speaker. As you know, that book and Napoleon Hill's work are very commonly read and very deeply appreciated by so many people, both in America and across the world. It influenced a lot of people. And so for me, it's been a source of great knowledge and wisdom and inspired much of my thinking on business.
Exactly. And it has done that. So, as you said, for many people around the world and over a long, long period of time. Now, the number one principle that the Napoleon Hill Foundation teaches and that was at the heart of Dr. Hill's principles was definiteness of purpose, and he referred to it as the starting point of all achievement. Can you share with our listeners your thoughts on having that definiteness of purpose in their lives and maybe how your definite purpose has unfolded for you over your life as well?
Sure. I mean, you know, where there is no vision, as the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. At the heart of all that we do is we have to have a clear vision about who we are, what we want to become, and who we can become. And second, of course, out of that comes a solid strategy, and out of that comes solid and consistent execution. But having a purpose, that is where passion comes from. That's where energy comes from. That's where innovation and creativity come from. That's where our focused capabilities of both skill and knowledge, framed only with wisdom and coaches in our lives, that can make good things come to be. So for me, you know, I came to America as a poor kid, and I wanted to make something of my life. And while I may not have known precisely and accurately what it is I wanted to do, I really understood viscerally and thoughtfully that I wanted to make something of my life. My purpose was to serve others. My purpose was to create a definitive focus for achieving success, and more importantly later in life, to travel the journey from success to significance.
Oh, amen, amen. And so important what you said there, and something that I think about for like 18, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, sometimes they don't know exactly what that passion is for their life, what God's purpose for their life is. Maybe like you and myself when I was young, I had an idea. But I think if you are purposed to make a difference in your life and make a difference in others' lives, I think God eventually leads you to that definite purpose where you will get passion and do what God intended you to do, don't you think?
There's no question about that, Tom, and I'll tell you, we also in our life all must have heroes to look up to, models to listen to, and mentors to learn from. So at the end of the day, you know, if we want to really achieve great results, we ought not focus merely on the behaviors, but we ought to really be much more interested in our belief systems. What is it we believe in, and how can that help us achieve our goals? So if I really want to improve the results in my life, I must really first begin with improving my beliefs. That is to say, if I believe I can, then I'm much more likely to get it done. So I like to say we have to believe in the art of the possible. We have to arm ourselves with the kind of resources to make it happen. And you may not know this, but at Hypo University, I actually lead a class called the President's Seminar on Life Skills, where every single freshman at our university, at High Point University in High Point, North Carolina, every freshman takes this class. And in it, we talk about precisely those subjects. You know, who are you? Where do you want to go? How do you get there? Learn something about fiscal literacy. Learn something about communication, presentation, relational capital, you know, how to get along with people, how to make a good impression. And more importantly, how do you feed your mind? How do you feed your mind with the kind of beliefs that inure greater and better results and ever-changing in such a competitive globe in which we all reside? And they listen. They listen because we are all looking for coaches. We're all looking for people who can guide us, whether in person or through books or via DVD or CDs. It doesn't matter. Knowledge, when it's packaged properly and when it reaches the right person in the right form, really becomes wisdom. Wow. And you know, Tom, better than I, that if all you have is information, people will use you and discard you. But if what you have is knowledge, people will call upon you when they need. On the other hand, if what you have is wisdom, people will always respect you. So we must be respected sources of knowledge and information if we are to really live the longer life, to be sustainable in both business and personal relationships.
Amen. So, so true. And I have found as well in my life, 48 years old now, I have found that the coaches and the mentors and the people that are doing great things, making a difference in the world, are more than happy. Even though they're the busiest people around, they are more than happy to lend a hand, be a mentor, be a coach, be a guide to younger people who maybe they don't know exactly where they're going with their life, but they have a passion and a purpose to make a difference. They want their life to count for something other than me, 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 me. And so for people listening, maybe young people, a lot of times they might be nervous or afraid to contact someone or approach someone who is well-known and is succeeding in the field they want to be in. But those people are so helpful, and you had people help you get to where you are, Dr. Cobain, and that's why, you know, successful people had people help them, and that's why they're more than happy in turn to help younger people get to where they want to be.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what makes life so beautiful. That's what makes life so serendipitous. That's what makes life so lasting, is that we are as good as the networks in which we find ourselves. You know, my daddy died when I was 6 years of age, and my mother brought us up. My mother was the source of such great wisdom in my life. She used to say to me things like this: who you spend time with is who you become. Look, if you want to be positive, hang around people positive. If you want to be successful, be in the zone where successful people are. And she didn't really mean that you have to know them personally or intimately. What she really meant is become familiar with their work. And then she would say, you know, it's not the circumstances in which you find yourself that define the person you become. It's really the choices that you make that define the person that you become. So choose well. Hang around the right people and choose well. And then later she would say, you know, how you change, it will determine how you succeed. That is to say that we're living in a world in which change is a must. It is a given.
Yes.
And, you know, for the timid, change is frightening, and for the comfortable, change is threatening. But for the confident, change is always opportunity. The question we're going to be asking ourselves, where does this confidence come from? And invariably, it comes from competence. A competent person is much more likely to be a confident person. And a confident person is not threatened by change. A confident person acknowledges and recognizes that change is the conduit for transformation, for becoming a better and a smarter and more successful individual. And you know what I find is that most people think horizontally. I mean, most people look at issues superficially and horizontally. But some people, the gifted ones, the ones who are well-versed, the Tom Cunninghams of the world, they tend to think vertically. They think beyond the surface. And the brightest among us think diagonally. That is to say, they connect all the dots. They know all the interrelationships with all the principles, all the fundamentals, all the relationships, all the knowledge, all the skill that we have, and all of a sudden they secure for themselves better places on the platforms of life because they acknowledge and understand material and matter at a deeper and more meaningful level. And so that's what we should all be, you know, working towards, and that's what I tell our students at High Point University, that it isn't enough to simply get a diploma in a discipline in which you may be very informed. You must really evolve yourself, to grow yourself, develop yourself, transform yourself into the kind of person who can survive and thrive in a very demanding world and who can stand next to and work with individuals who are very experienced and very gifted at what they do. And so it's not complicated. It's what Napoleon Hill wrote about. It's what you teach. It's what your program is all about. It just really is all framed by one English word, and that's called desire.
Yes.
You know, we got to want it. We got to want it enough times and the right level to go after it. And that's why you see some people very, very successful, and others thrown in the midst of the greatest of opportunities can't seem to make it happen.
Amen. And you had mentioned something earlier about your purpose being part of it, being to serve others. And my friend, I love Zig Ziglar, says if you help enough other people get what they want, you will surely get what you want. And so people who are the successful people in life who could be mentors and coaches and teachers, when they see someone and they can recognize someone who has a heart to serve others and who isn't in it for the name recognition or the money, those mentors and coaches and leaders in life love to work with people who have a servant heart, who are in it to serve others. And God works it out that if you serve others, He rewards you. You don't do it for the reward, but God has set it up that it works that way, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I say always enjoy the gifts, but keep your eyes on the giver.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, I like to say that I invest one-third of my life in learning, one-third of my life in earning, and one-third of my life in serving. And I think the serving part is where the purpose, where the significance part of life, not merely success, but the significance part of life comes to be. And, you know, the truth, Tom, is that there's nothing wrong with recognition, there's nothing wrong with money, but those tend to be byproducts of value that we render. When we render value wholeheartedly, when we provide it with a spirit of love and giving and openness, the world has a way to reward you and take care of you. And you know, William Barclay, by the way, the Scottish theologian, probably put it best. He said, always give without remembering. And he wasn't just talking about money. He was talking about time, energy, service, value, etc. Always give without remembering. Always receive without forgetting.
Oh, wow. There is a whole book in that statement, Dr. Cobain. And what a great, great statement. Tell me a little bit about your foundation, the Napoleon Hill Foundation. One of their greatest things that they do with their finances and the money that comes their way is they provide scholarships as well to students at Purdue University and University of Virginia. And that's one of the main purposes of the Napoleon Hill Foundation. And that's what your foundation does as well. And one thing I noticed when I looked at, I wondered why 48 students every year, not 50, not 45. How did you come up with 48? And then tell me some of the stories. These must be some tremendous students who just needed that hand that you gave them. How do you pick them? Tell me some of the stories of some of these great young men and women that you're helping, and tell me why. How did you come up with 48?
Well, that's a good point. I was born in 1948, so there you have it.
Okay.
Nope. Nobody's ever asked me that question before, but that's it. There's no magical piece to it, and I'll tell you a couple of important stories. By the way, any of your listeners can go to my website, which is NIDOQ, N-I-D-O-Q, like the letter Q, N-I-D-O-Q, as in Nido Cobain, .com, and then get some information on that as well. And then High Point University, of course, is just High Point, H-I-G-H, P-O-I-N-T, .edu, and they'll see a lot of stories about some great students who are doing amazing things. Let me tell you, I'm involved, Tom, in probably a dozen organizations that are committed, dedicated, and focused on helping young people create for themselves a life of purpose. One of them, of course, is the Horatio Alger Association that you referred to.
Yes.
It's probably the largest organization that gives literally $10 million or more per annum, per year.
Wow.
Uh, the students from across North America who come out of adversity. You know, Horatio Alger has 300-400 living members, some of the most successful people, but most of them have something in common. They came out of adversity and they found abundance and they wanted to share it with the world.
Yeah.
And then at the National Speakers Association in Tempe, Arizona, you know, when I was president there, we founded the National Speakers Association Foundation, and that was for the purpose of giving scholarships and other such elements. And we continue to do that. So I'm making the point that I believe anytime we plant seeds of greatness in the heart, in the soul of a young person, then we really make great things happen in this world. Because at the end of the day, they are the pillars of tomorrow. They are the evidence of our future, and they are the ones who are going to take us to new heights of achievement and advancement from a social justice perspective, as well as from achievements in business and beyond. For me, it all started this way. I came to America, I had very little money. I landed up in a small part of eastern North Carolina. I went to a small school, a two-year school to begin with. And at the end of the second year, the president of the school came up to me and said to me, he said, "Nito, I know that you worked hard to pay your way through school. But, you know, I got to tell you, now that you're leaving us to go to High Point University, which is also my alma mater, my undergraduate alma mater, I need to tell you the story." He said, "You know, there was a chasm between the money that you owed the school and the money that you paid the school. And you just might like to know that a doctor in a neighboring city picked up the tab for the difference."
Wow.
So I said to him, I said, this is truly heartwarming. Do you mind telling me who this doctor is so I can thank him or her for the kindness of their heart or the sweetness of their soul?" To which he was quick to answer, "No, I can't tell you, because one thing this doctor wants to do is to remain anonymous."
Oh.
But gosh, what would you have done? I mean, I went back to my dorm, knelt by the side of my bed, cried my eyes out in gratitude.
Amen.
And on that day, I made a commitment, Tom. I made a commitment. Now, look, you make a decision with your brain, but you make a commitment with your heart. That's why commitments are longer lasting. That's why commitments are harder to break.
Mm.
So I made a commitment on that day that as soon as I work, as soon as I begin to inure some legal tender, as soon as I make some money, I too somehow, some way, I did not know how, I didn't know when, I too will try to help other students who want to go to college learn, grow, and make of their life a productive thing. And so my very first year, I was working 17 hours a day to start my business. I was living on frozen dinners, which I bought three for a dollar. And I took my very hard-earned $500 and began the Scholarship Foundation. And we gave one scholarship to a guy called Glenn Myers, who wanted to become a minister and become a PhD and continues today doing amazing things across the country.
Wow.
And it began from that very humble place. You know, if you look at the greatest musicians or the greatest painters or the greatest sculptors, every one of them begins their great work with one little scratch, with one little step, with one little point. The greatest of books are written one word at a time, one sentence, one paragraph, one page at a time.
Yes.
And so, you know, when I tell people, when they say to me, "Gosh, I want to do something, but I can only do it so small," I go, "Yes, I understand, but it's okay. What's really not okay is not to act on an idea that you believe is worth doing. If it's worth doing, start it. Start it now. Improve it later. Realign it and make it better. But don't assume that you're going to be at the top of Mount Everest with one step. It takes one step at a time, one step after the other. But eventually you'll be up there." And so the students, of course, you know, come from all kinds of backgrounds. They do all kinds of amazing things.
Yeah.
They all go to college, and they have to maintain a certain level of excellence, academic excellence in school, a certain level of leadership in investment and involvement. But many of them come from homes that would make you cringe at how unfair life can be.
Yes.
And how unfortunate some students' upbringing may be. But to the one, you know, they know that education is the conduit. It is the process through which it is the tunnel through which one must travel if one is going to improve a lot in life. And the amazing thing, Tom, is we don't ask anything in return from these students. We don't ask him to give us any money back. We don't ask him to contribute any money. We don't ask him to substantiate, you know, anything that they've accomplished. What we ask him to do is to do good unto others, to just spread, you know, to pay it forward and spread goodwill and good work. And that, I believe, is the way to sort of make a better world for all of us.
Amen. And as you said, when you were talking about that man who's a doctor, think of the lives that you have affected because of this doctor. And when you serve others and give to others, no matter what the small amount is, the $40 I give a month to World Vision doesn't affect their budget in a big way. But when you can help one person, that one person can now go on to affect millions of other people like you have, and your gift can give generationally to people you'll never, ever hear about. I think of the Moody Bible Institute, I think in Chicago, and the person who brought Mr. Moody to the Lord never brought anyone to the Lord in his whole life except one person, Dr. Moody. Look what Dr. Moody and the Moody Bible Institute has done and the people that institute has affected. And so one little gift, one person that you helped, $500 that you start with, $50 that you start with, do it now, give it, and you don't know how big of an impact that gift is going to have on that person and on the world. Your job is to give, no matter what the amount, how small. Do it now and make a difference in people's lives.
Absolutely, and sometimes you give money, and sometimes you give encouragement. Sometimes you give guidance. Sometimes you give leadership. But each of us has something to give. We got to light one candle at a time. I have a DVD on my website titled The Power of One, which is exactly what you're talking about, that one doesn't sound like a lot, and yet one can move heaven and earth. One can, build the grandest of schemes, and one can dig the deepest of wells. And so this is the kind of encouragement that we should all turn to and never belittle our ability. When God breathed in our nostrils and gave us life, you know, God intended for us to be extraordinary. At High Point University, we say, choose to be extraordinary. And when people say to me, gosh, isn't that sort of a call to such a high level? I go, well, what's the alternative? Give me an alternative.
Yes.
Is it choose to be ordinary? Because that's the opposite, ordinary versus extraordinary. So we don't want to be ordinary. We want to be extraordinary. You know, we want to be the best that we can be, and you can define extraordinary in your own way, but be extraordinary in the way you reach out to people. Be extraordinary in the way that you innovate and create. Be extraordinary in the way that you live your life. Be extraordinary in the way that you model values, principles, and tenets that other people may want to follow and be inspired by them. And so, you know, Tom, Hyper University has gone in 6 short years from a total undergraduate population of 1,450 to some 4,000. This is in the midst of the most disrupted economic times, as you know, the last 4 years in North America. And people say to me, how did this happen? This is a miracle. And I say, well, you know what? We created value. We interpreted the value. And we took all the irritants out of the system. We added wow to the experience. And guess what? Students and their parents realize and acknowledge that High Point University is not swimming in an ocean of sameness, but rather it has differentiated itself with relevance, and it is well on its way to distinction. And people see that. People are very smart. Now, I've given 6,000 presentations, as you know, on the platforms of America, North America, and the world, and I find my audiences to be very bright, very smart. They can very quickly assess and acknowledge whether or not you're giving them substance, whether or not you're delivering it in a way that's meaningful, whether or not that you're authentic. You know, they want authenticity above charisma any day of the week, and they see through things. They don't really think about them, and so I'm fascinated by all that. I'm encouraged by all that. I'm inspired by all that. I want to be in a world and be around people who want to be more, do more, give more. And the only way you can do all that is to have more. And have more, you know, doesn't mean in the material sense merely,
no.
Although that could be a pie, but it means have more in terms of our intellect, in terms of our ability, in terms of our beliefs. And because when you have more and you share more, we together can change the world to the better.
Amen. And I just saw Jeffrey Gittimer in seminar yesterday. You talked about creating value and adding wow. And Mr. Gittimer also, I believe, is a North Carolina resident. And so when you add that to the experience of being a student, it's certainly going to add value. And this was something I was surprised about as well, because when I looked you up several months ago, wanted to see if you were coming to Toronto or somewhere I could see you, I was surprised to find that you are now president of High Point University. Kind of took me back. I thought you would still be so involved in traveling and speaking. Is that part of your definite purpose, to get involved with the university and with young people? And how did that come about? Because, as I said, I was a little surprised when I found out. And yet, when I read of the great results you've had, I see, wow, it's only natural that he does that.
Well, you know, the amazing part about life is that it is serendipitous. You cannot, and one should not attempt to predict precisely what happens to one's journey. I do know this, though, that if you have an open heart, then good things happen. I went to Hyper University for undergraduate work. I was on the board of trustees since the mid-90s, and I was going to be the chairman of the board of trustees in 2006. And some trustees came to me and asked me to consider becoming president. I did not know then what I know now, but nevertheless, I prayed about it and thought about it and went there. Did not realize that we're going to have the spectacular success that we've had in terms of numerical growth, in terms of fundraising, in terms of the transformation of the campus, and in terms of the enormity of deliverables that we can make in the lives of young people and their families and the alumni and the community in which we reside.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it has been an amazing journey indeed, and I've been thrilled with it. I thought I'd do it for a couple of years, Tom, but I fell in love with the young people. I fell in love with the opportunity to bring education with values. Hyper University is all about holistic education, experiential learning, and values-based living. We're a Black family and country school, and we're proud of that, and when we say that, and people just kind of turned on by it. And what I didn't know then, and I know now, is that my life as a speaker, as a writer, as a consultant, as a coach, has been a great source of assistance to the university, in the sense that every time I speak, I mention Hyper University, and as a result of that, we got lots of students. So the university got a president whose platforms were across North America and the world, who had a lot of connections, a lot of contacts, and that's all worked so well for the promotion and the branding of this university, which is in North Carolina, High Point, North Carolina. So, shall we say, it's a marriage made in heaven, as somebody said, and it's really proven to be exactly that.
And it sounds like, not sounds like, it is, you send people out after university, not with just a education and a diploma, but you send them out as better people, with better character and with skills for leadership and skills for making a difference in the world, rather than just a diploma.
Exactly. That's exactly right. They have to earn the diploma. The diploma is just a pronouncement to the world that you have completed a preset level of learning in certain subjects. But more than that, you have to frame it with your understanding about other matter to create this holistic education. Because once you graduate and you go out to work, you know, if you don't know how to look someone eyeball to eyeball or shake their hands or write a decent letter or interview well, people may never take the time to figure out what's inside of or how good you really are. And so you lose before you ever start. So we try to say, you know, the world has changed. The world has really changed. And each person listening to us today, of course, acknowledges that we have to be the best at what we do. We have to be the best that we can be. And that means we have to learn continually. We have to be coached. We have to read. We have to attend learning opportunities and feed our heart and mind with data and with knowledge that can enable us to do better every day. You know, if you're as good today as you were a year ago, today you're worse off. And so today you must be better than you were yesterday just to stay even, because people around us and about us are learning, growing, and becoming better all the time.
Exactly. And just having the diploma, as you say, if you don't know how to look someone in the eye, shake their hands, write a good business letter, network in your community, serve others, if you don't have that in you and you just have a diploma, you will maybe not find work as readily as someone who has all the leadership skills and talents and abilities that you instill in people while they're at High Point University.
Exactly correct. That's exactly right. And that's the world.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Dr. Cobain. As I said, I was nervous. I was even nervous yesterday thinking of this. You've done some amazing things in your life, and you've given back in tremendous fashion. And what a great example. And I'm sure those students at High Point University are getting more than just an education while they're there. And the signs of growth at the university, the incredible growth you've experienced, is a sign that I believe as well that God has gotten behind this mission of yours as well. And when God blesses something that he feels you should do, he does it in a big way, doesn't he?
Absolutely right. Tom, it's a pleasure being with you, my friend. Continue to do the great things that you do and spread the good word and the thoughtful word to as many people as you can. And I'm fascinated by your own life story, by your own tenacity and courage and faithfulness. So I admire you and cheer you on.
Oh, amazing. Thank you, Dr. Cobain. I'll be walking about 2 or 3 feet taller probably for the next 2-3 days. Just an amazing time for me, and I'm sure our listeners will have enjoyed it as well.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Take care.